Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Yes, dropshipping is still profitable in 2026, and in this video, I'm going to show you why. Hey, all right, John Warren here. In this video, we're answering the question, is dropshipping still profitable in 2026? And that's a question I see every year. I've been dropshipping for 12 years, and almost every single one of these years, I've seen people online asking the question, maybe in Reddit, maybe putting the question into the YouTube search bar, is dropshipping still profitable? You might be one of those people, and that's why you're watching this video. So the basic answer is, yes, dropshipping is still profitable in 2026. It was profitable last year. In fact, it's been profitable probably since people started dropshipping in the late 90s. It's been profitable right through the 2000s, and it will be profitable next year. And here's the reason why, at a basic level, dropshipping is still and can still be profitable. It's simply because dropshipping itself is not a business model. Now, there's a lot of people online that will try to sell you the idea that a dropshipping business is like a business model, but it's not. Dropshipping is simply a method of e-commerce fulfillment. So a dropshipping business is an e-commerce business. Dropshipping just refers to how the product gets from point A to point B, as in the product is not normally warehoused by the person who runs the website that's selling it. It's shipped directly from a manufacturer or supplier to the customer. So it simply refers to the method of fulfillment. Now, the method of fulfillment in and of itself has little bearing on profitability. So the question of whether dropshipping is profitable or not, the answer is yes, because running an e-commerce business can be profitable. So I don't think is dropshipping profitable in 2026 is really the question that people are asking, or is really the question that people should be asking. A better question that you could ask is, when is dropshipping profitable, or how can I make dropshipping profitable or more profitable in 2026? And so I'm going to break that down for you now, and I'm going to show you the most profitable way to do dropshipping in 2026.
Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, I was binging podcasts, probably like you're doing right now. And the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you. At dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, you can see a free training where John walks you through one of our businesses and shows you what the site looks like, what the process is for setting up one of these stores, and how you can take your next steps to setting up your own high-ticket dropshipping business. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
So I'm going to share my screen here. We're going to jump into a couple of examples and break this down in a way that should make good sense. All right, so I've got us over here in a really simple Google Doc here. I like to do it, keep things nice and simple. So what are the five biggest influences on dropshipping profitability, on whether dropshipping happens profitably or not? The first one is the product price. So what is the retail price of the product? The second one is, what is the gross margin in dollar terms, not percentage terms, in dollar terms that you're getting that product from the manufacturer, the supplier, the distributor, wherever it's coming from? Number three is, what are the marketing costs associated with selling that product? So what is the cost per acquisition or cost per sale? What are the shipping costs? Remembering dropshipping is a method of fulfillment. So what is the cost in getting the product from the warehouse, the manufacturer, the supplier, to the customer? And finally, what are the other overheads in the business that each sale needs to contribute to? So that would be things like your website hosting fees, or employees if you have a customer service team. And there's a bunch of other small costs that any business is going to carry, and those are your other overheads. So when you're running a business that is shipping products using the dropshipping fulfillment method, when you're running that e-commerce business, you don't have all of the costs that an e-commerce business that produces its own products has. You don't have like the cost to store, to warehouse the products and all of that sort of thing, because you're not doing that. Your biggest costs are your marketing costs, your shipping costs, and your other overheads like employees, a team, contractors you might use to do various things. So if those are the five biggest influences on dropshipping profitability, how can you use some of these things to your advantage to make sure that you're doing dropshipping in the most profitable way possible? All right, so we're going to start at the top with the product price and the gross margin. And gross margin, if you're not familiar with that term, it refers to the difference between what you pay for the product and what you sell it to the customer at, so the retail price, and your wholesale price or your buy price. The difference between those two things before any expenses come out is your gross margin. Your net margin is what you're left with after you've paid all of the expenses required in selling the product and shipping the product and paying for your team, your overheads, etc. So your net margin is essentially your income at the end, obviously pre-tax income or your company income. Let's jump down and look at an example. And so there's really three types of products that people generally dropship. And we refer to them really simply as low ticket, mid ticket, and high ticket. So here's three product examples on the screen of things that I've seen people dropship. One of them I've dropshipped myself. The first one is fake dog eyelashes. Yep, you gotta love it. People that were mad for dropshipping these at one point, people sell them on Amazon as well. If you've ever seen a product that doesn't need to exist, this is one of them, right? So people dropship fake dog eyelashes. So this would be what we call a low ticket product. This is gonna retail, let's say for $30 for a set of these fake dog eyelashes. Next one, you've got a mid-ticket product. In this case, it's a drone. You know, this particular drone, at least where I am, sells for around $400. So we would call this mid-ticket. Low ticket is kind of zero to $100, maybe $150. Mid-ticket is everything between that point and say $900 to $1,000. And then you have high-ticket products. And so the chandelier kind of hanging light here on the right-hand side is an example of a high-ticket product. This one sells for around $3,000. And when I got my start in dropshipping and e-commerce 12 years ago, I started selling these sort of products, lighting products for people's homes and businesses. And so if we look at those three with that kind of categorization, low-ticket is what a lot of people will associate with dropshipping. This is like the AliExpress dropshipping, or when people say Shopify dropshipping, they're like talking about finding products from somewhere like AliExpress or Temu or some dropshipping directory type arrangement and selling them using social media ads, maybe on TikTok, maybe on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And they're generally low product price. So let's say this is a $30 product, whereas high ticket dropshipping, which is what I do, you know, you're selling products over $1,000 on average, and you're using more like search engine based marketing, AI platforms, things like that. So let's say that's the product prices that we're talking about here. Obviously you can dropship a whole bunch of other different product prices as well, but this will kind of illustrate some of the influences on dropshipping profitability. So the low ticket product, and we're going to assume each of these products has a 30% gross margin. Right, so the difference between what you're paying, what you're buying the product for, and the price that you're selling to the customer is your margin, right? So 30%, which is not an unusual margin for dropshipping. Now, once again, you'll find manufacturers and suppliers and directories that will have different margins to this. This is probably a good number that sits around the middle ground. Certainly, I've dropshipped products at 50% profit margin. I've also dropshipped them at 20%. But 30% sits, you know, it's a reasonable expectation, but it's not great and it's not bad either. So on our $30 product, if we do that, and this is why the dollar term margin is the important thing to think about, not the percentage, right? Because you know, you don't deduct your costs in the business from a percentage number. You work it out off a dollar figure number, right? So if I sell a $30 product at a 30% gross margin, that's leaving me with $9. Whereas if I sell a $400 product at, once again, a 30% gross margin, I'm going to be left over with, or I'm going to have from that sale, $120. Whereas if I sell my $3,000 chandelier hanging light at that 30% gross margin, that's going to come out to $900, right? And so what this means is, is these the amounts of money that I now have to draw on because I've knocked out the cost of my goods, right? Now I've sold the goods and I've paid for them, right? Because that happens around the same time when you're drop shipping. And this is what I have to cover the rest of the expenses involved with making that sale and getting the product to the customer. And so immediately you should be able to spot where this is going, right? There are significant differences between these numbers. Same profit margin in a percentage term, but the numbers come out very differently. Now, you might be sitting there going, oh, well, John, it's heaps easier to sell a $30 product than a $3,000 product, and people don't sell $3,000 products online. Yeah, that's all nonsense, right? We'll come back to that. Just stick with the example for a moment. Now, let's go from there. We said at the top, our next thing, our biggest influencer, is marketing costs. A dropshipping business is a marketing and customer service business, right? Essentially. Yes, it's a retail business. Yes, it's an e-commerce business. But really, the activities, which if you absolutely nail, you're going to win in your market, in your niche with whatever you're selling, it's marketing and customer service, right? So let's say we go with that. Let's look at our marketing costs. So for the low ticket, the $30 product, let's say it costs us, and I'm being so generous here, it's not funny. Let's say it costs us $5 to acquire every customer. And if I'm honest with you, if anybody's actually achieving that at any sort of growth numbers, like I would eat my hat probably. But let's assume that that's possible. You're going to then be left with $4. Because remember up here, you've got $9 with your 30% margin. So $5 is going to come from that $9. Then you've got $4 left, right? So now you've paid for the cost of the marketing cost of selling the product. You got $4. Let's say for our $400 product, it cost you $40 to sell that. Let's say, I think that's a reasonable price to pay for ads and things like that. So I'm talking about spending on ads, spending on email marketing, spending on search engine optimization. You might pay some things for that, or you might pay somebody to help you with that. That's your marketing costs, right? Whether it's Google ads, Facebook ads, TikTok ads, like YouTube ads, whatever it might be, that's what your marketing cost is, right? So let's say $40 cost per acquisition on our $400 product. Well, 120 minus 40 gives us 80. So we've got $80 still to play with here. On our high ticket product, once again, these are going to cost a little bit more to sell for sure, but $150 CPA is easily achievable with a $3,000 product and at higher numbers as well. So let's say $150, we had $900. So now minus $150, we're at $750. So even in this example, even assuming, you know, large differences in the cost of acquiring, the marketing cost of acquiring a customer, we can see there's still huge differences in the margin, the dollars left in the business, the cash left in the business at this point. So let's move on to the next influencing factor, which is our shipping costs. Once again, I'm being super generous here. Let's say you get free shipping from your supplier on the $30 product, right? So the shipping doesn't actually cost you anything. You're left with your $4 margin. $400 products, they're going to cost generally a little bit more than a $30 product because they tend to be a little bit larger. So think about our example was a drone. It's in a box. You know, it's going to ship. Maybe on average, it costs you $20 to ship that to a customer. Once again, maybe I'm even being a little bit generous there, but let's say it costs $20 on average. So we're going to take that $20 out of the 80 that we were down to here. Now we're at $60 left on that $400 product. And for our $3,000 product, so our chandelier here, which once again, that's going to ship in a box. It's not going to be probably quite complete like that. It gets a bit smaller than that. The individual glass pieces might be packed by themselves and that needs to be assembled. So it's not actually going to be as big as it looks there. But let's say that's going to cost about $300 to ship on average. Sometimes it'll be more, sometimes it might be a little bit less. But let's say it's going to be around that. So once again, it's more expensive generally to ship high ticket products than it is low ticket products, right? Fair enough. So we're going to take $300 if we're giving the customer free shipping. In some cases, you could charge the customer for shipping. So this could actually be a zero cost in some examples as well, and in some parts of the world. But once again, maybe I'm going a little bit overboard here. Still, 750 minus 300, we've got $450 left of margin or profit at this point from that sale. Once again, we can see after that level of influencer on profitability comes out, we're still left with some very different numbers here in dollar terms, right? And this is what's important. The percentage of these things is not necessarily that different, but the dollar terms are. And dollar terms is what's important when it comes to profitability, right? Because this is what goes in the bank. This is what you pay for things with. You don't pay for things with percentages. You pay for things with dollars, right? And so you'll say, all right, John, well, there was one more factor, and that was the other overheads in the business. Now, this is where it gets a little bit more interesting, and it can be quite variable. It depends on what size your business is as to how much of an influence overheads has, right? So you could sell all three of these as a single person business with no labor overhead. So you have no team, no customer service team. It's you. You do all the customer service. You handle the fulfillment and all of that sort of thing. And one of the great things about running a dropshipping business is that a single person can do all of that and make money, right? You don't need to have a team in the beginning. You can do a lot of it yourself. And in fact, I've seen people with high ticket dropshipping businesses do past $1 million a year in revenue with no employees. But this is the kicker. Do the numbers here. Let's say I'm making $4 every time I sell a $30 product. And when I sell my high ticket product, I make $450 after the costs we've discussed. That means if I'm selling primarily $30 products, I have to sell 100 of these for every one of these that I sell. Now, I'll give a bit of a discount that some orders and some customers might order multiple products in the same order, right? So let's say even I need to do 60 orders to get to the same dollar term profit as I do here. That's still 60 individual orders that need to be fulfilled that potentially have customer service associated with them, that potentially have returns associated with them that your business has to manage. Now that's quite a bit. And some people might say, well, I mean, I'm using an automated system through some sort of low ticket drop shipping connection between Shopify and this, that, and the other. And yeah, sure. Okay. That takes a bit out of it, right? But it doesn't take everything out of it. That's a lot of customers you have to acquire to make the same amount of money that you're going to make from just one customer, right? And the more customers you have to acquire, the more money generally you've got to spend to acquire them. And so these numbers up here, our marketing costs, our $5 CPA, at much higher numbers, probably doesn't hold up. It might hold up at low numbers in terms of low volume of sales while you're just getting started. But if you want to grow a business bigger, this ain't going to hold up. Whereas this generally will, because you don't need as many customers. You don't need to run as many ads. And so that final overhead is actually where this blows out. You could do $3 million in sales with high ticket products with one employee. You cannot do $3 million in sales of $30 products with one employee. So the overhead cost here at high numbers, the numbers where most people want to take an e-commerce business, are actually higher on low ticket products than they are on high ticket products. And mid ticket is going to sit somewhere in between. It's mid ticket, right? So when we come back to the question of what are, in 2026, the most profitable ways to do dropshipping, it's this. Like if you're an individual who wants to start a dropshipping business, probably it's going to be your first business attempt, or maybe it's your second or third. You've tried some other things and maybe they didn't quite work out. And you want to get started with dropshipping. You've heard about it. One, it still works in 2026 because it's just a method of fulfillment. So anybody who says dropshipping doesn't work in 2026 is frankly identifying themselves as an idiot who doesn't know what they're talking about. But it's profitable. It's profitable as, but doing it this way is significantly more likely to be profitable than doing it this way. Now, I can hear the haters at the moment going, "Oh, well, high ticket products, what are they? There's no high ticket products. You can't drop ship high ticket products. Nobody spends thousands of dollars on high ticket products." Yeah, good one, mate. Let's have a quick look over here. So on the screen here, I've got, I've just come into Claude, and in 2 minutes, I've said, "Can you please give me a list of 100 product categories that are on sale in the US that have products priced at $1,000 or higher?" So that's generally what we call high ticket. And just as a side note, for any of you AI-pilled prompt Nazis that want to get in the comments about my prompt, just don't even bother. It's not a lesson on prompts. I don't care. Nobody cares what you have to say. Bugger off. So look at this. These are all products that people buy in the United States and in most Western countries that are over $1,000. And I 100% can say that not all of these are good drop shipping products, right? For other reasons. And we've got plenty of videos on how to start a high ticket drop shipping business, what you have to do, what the steps are. We've got tons of videos on what are great supplies to find for high ticket drop shipping businesses. But once again, espresso machines, commercial grade stand mixers, air purifiers, HVAC systems, furnaces, tankless water heaters, standby generators, solar panel systems, home battery backup, recliners, office desks, pool tables, hot tubs, saunas, outdoor grills, outdoor kitchens, patio furniture sheds, sheds and outbuildings, snow blowers, commercial pressure washers, welders, tool chests, treadmills, ellipticals. These are all products that I know people who drop ship. Right? Let's keep going. There's a few in here, like golf clubs, for example, don't work. But there's kayaks, telescopes. Let's keep going. I got to 100 in 2 seconds, right? Then I said, "Can we get another 100? "Yeah, we sure can." Let's keep going. These are all products that I'm sharing with you on the screen right now that you can find suppliers for that will drop ship these products for you. Arcade cabinets, pinball machines, jukeboxes, safes and gun safes, vault doors, whole house water filtration, water softeners, reverse osmosis systems, geothermal heat pumps, mini split AC systems. You can drop ship all of those 100%. Chicken coops, greenhouses, beekeeping setups, aquariums, like the list goes on. These are all drop shippable. So if you're sitting there, stump grinders, log splitters, you know, commercial lawn mowers, zero turn mowers, you can drop ship all of those. So people who say that you can't drop ship high ticket products, or I can't think of ideas for high ticket products to drop ship, literally get your pens out. I'm showing you a bunch on the screen right now. Chandeliers, designer floor lamps, garage door openers, garage doors even, skylights, custom windows, pergolas and gazebos, outdoor fireplaces, fire pits, pizza ovens, smokers, Kamado grills. You can drop ship all of these. Kegerators, ice makers, steam ovens. You know, once again, you can drop ship all of these. Commercial juicers, meat slicers, vacuum sealers, food dehydrators. You can drop ship all of those. So there are literally so many ideas out there. I could keep going. We could keep going. I got to 300 ideas, and I reckon about 30% of them are not good, either because, you know, they're just not the right products, or they're going to have brands that won't drop ship. But quite literally, there are so many ideas. And so if you've been thinking about dropshipping and that question is in your mind about whether dropshipping can be profitable, the answer is yes, it can. It can actually be profitable at all three of those levels. It is possible to be profitable with low ticket products. It's just harder and it's less likely. It is possible to be profitable on mid ticket products. But once again, it's a little bit easier than low ticket, but it's still a little harder than high ticket. Whereas with high ticket products, if profitability is a question that's in your mind, that's the best option for you. And so if you'd love to get more detail on how to start a high ticket dropshipping business, just go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. That link's in the description as well. We got a free training there that you can grab where we'll walk you through exactly what the steps look like that you can follow to set up your own high-ticket dropshipping business, or you know, listen to any of the 400 episodes and videos on our podcast here or our YouTube channel, where we also take you through those steps.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.